good. Very good.
Actually, Michael, that's only a year old. Yeah. Last year.
Yes.
That's top of the pops a year ago.
Now, going back to that time in Brisbane, it's there the Beatles came onto the scene, and that was the sort of inspiration for you,
yes.
as it was for many, many people at that time. And to England, meeting Stigwood, and then it sort of taking off. You then went into this extraordinary, you went into the stratosphere, in a sense, and that's got its downside as well, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
So how did that affect you? I mean, what was the first indication you had of the downside, if you like, of fame?
We thought we had a five-year career. When we arrived in England, we thought, like every other group, that you really have a five-year span, and then there's a new generation of children come along and you sort of go out the window. And it sort of worked that way. By 1970, we were sort of null and void, you know, and we thought we weren't wanted. So for 4 years, we sort of dealt with that. We even split up, you know, because the Beatles split up, so did we. I guess they had so much influence on groups.
But was it just that? Or was it just this business of working together, even if you're brothers and close as you are?
We were just moving into our own lives as individuals. We'd lived together our entire lives at home with Mum and Dad. So becoming individuals and getting married, as I did at a very early age.
Getting your own bed.
Because we
used to sleep together.
We did. We weren't very well off when we were growing up at home, so we had to share a bed, the three of us.
Right. Really?
And
surely, man, you jest.
I'm talking about little kids here.
I hope so.
It was only 2 years ago. But the
I've got to get a room tonight.
we were kids at the time. Remember, when we did split up, you know, we were still at... We'd just been 2 years out of living at home with our mother and father.
Yes.
And, of course, we were actually doing a little bit better than them at the time because we were on the rare occasions. We were teenagers actually earning more money than our parents.
Yes.
Where it's usually the other way around, you know, the parents usually kick the kids out, go out and make some money, you lazy sods,
So Dad became sort of our manager and drove us around.
Yes.
Because you couldn't do those places. You couldn't work those kind of places as children without your father.
But what about the other temptations to the pills, the drink, the drugs and all that.
Wonderful.
I didn't know you were doing that.
Oh, please.
So, how long has it been like?
Has it been like in the green room?
Tell us about this, Michael.
That would happen.
Oh, group
you're not going to avoid the question.
We understand, Michael.
Yeah, you do.
Group hug.
I feel a quality moment here.
Yeah, we all had our periods. We all had that. We all had our choice of stimulants, let's put it that way.
Yes.
And I go by what Tennessee Ernie would...
Tennessee
Williams
Tennessee
said Williams. He'd never written a book without a stimulant, you know.
Yes.
So that was Charles Dickens.
It was Charles Dickens.
Well, I thought it was Winston Churchill.
No, something else.
No, Winston Churchill never did a speech without a stimulant.
But you came through that. But I mean, sadly, of course, I mean, you lost a brother as well, didn't you, Andy, who was... I saw a marvellous piece of footage when he joined you on stage at a concert in America. You described that, I think you, Morris, said that was one of the greatest moments of your life.
It was magic, yeah.
Yeah.
It was to see us all together. In fact, even John Travolta was on that show too.
Yes.
But it was in Houston, and he was doing Urban Cowboy. John was filming that there, and Andy was with us and joined us in Houston. And to come on and do You Should Be Dancing with us, and he was sharing my microphone. And I could see the tears in his eyes as well.
He's standing on his foot.
Yeah, I was. We've got to get a bigger mic. So we'd sing around the mic, and I just saw across his face, and I saw Barry and Robin, and it was just the four of us. That one shot was just like made me feel like totally. It was like whole.
And it would have been four of us.
Yeah,
it would have been four of us.
Yes. Yeah. But he died of a heart problem.
Well, he died of a combination of things.
Yes, I mean, he was on drugs.
Yeah, I think all of those things added up.
Did that make you take stock? I mean, did that make you take stock of yourselves?
Yes,
I mean,
you do. You feel very vulnerable. You feel very... I mean, you're 8 years older. I was 8 years older than Andy.
You also realise that it could be tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, that everything... You take everything for granted until someone really close to you dies. And anyone who hasn't lost someone of their own blood thinks totally different than anyone who has lost someone of their own blood.
Yes.
And that's something we've noticed since.
Yes.
You become more spiritual. You grow inside.
Yes,
you know?
I think that's all part of the growing. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the really so extraordinary part of your career was to come after that, and that was Saturday Night Fever.
Yes.
Right.
As I said, 50 million copies sold. Mm. How long did it take to write that, by the way?
3 minutes and 42
minutes.
We think the magic came from the fact that they shot the music. The movie to the music,
yes,
as opposed to the other way around, which Hollywood usually does, and you can tell when you watch a film that it's not the music they were dancing to,
yes,
when they shot the scene.
But that took you into another realm altogether, didn't it?
That's a level we didn't know about,
really,
because it came right just after Star Wars, And it was one of those rare type of incidents where people just went to see. I mean, we were sitting in Robert's house in Los Angeles, and the guys from Paramount called up and said, there's just queues all around the block for this film.
A million albums a week.
That's true.
So it was pretty shocking for us. We'd never been in a position like that.
Yes. But it wasn't just a normal hit album. Yeah. You know?
Yes.
It was a bit rare.
So, but how did it change your life after that?
In a way that it changed Michael Jackson's life. Everything changes, including your clothes.
It's true.
Our clothes changed because we were going for something. In the way that Elvis Presley was going for something towards the end of his career when he put the white jumpsuit on. It made you feel different. And that's all that we were doing. And you tend to dress up. You tend to become larger than life.
Yes.
In the 70s, it was a more dress-up kind of period.
Yes, right. Yeah. 70s,
and everybody was doing it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But I mean, what was the downside of that?
Well, the backlash, obviously. Disco became so enormous before we ever thought it was disco. And it just went through the roof. And to a point that I think that the media, not the public so much, but the media wanted to change it all. And I think we became the poster boys for that period.
The poster boys.
Yeah. The patsies.
Yeah.
And, you know, we should go, everybody disco should go, heavy rock should take over. And the media got this in its own mind, you know. What still baffles us is that you can be put on a pedestal and then knocked off the pedestal for something that's incredibly successful. And in other words, you don't get actually thanked for it. You get knocked over for it.
How dare you inflict that upon us?
So it's always been a confusing.
But isn't the bottom line though? Where I can't understand. I've seen you be in an interview before, and you get quite defensive about.
Well, no, you only because but, the way the